remember, I'm sure, from yesterday, we have a little unfinished business. And I would like to go back to Ephesians chapter 1, if we may, just for a few minutes. And I'm sorry that I had to rush through commenting on that very, very precious passage, because this is really what it's all about as far as your life and mine are concerned. So Ephesians chapter 1, and let's read in at verse 3 once again. And I'm not going to spend much time here, believe me, but I just want to reinforce what I rushed through yesterday morning. Verse 3 of Ephesians 1. Praise be to God. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, capitalizing very quickly, you remember that we observed Israel as they could have gone into the land of promise, that land that had been promised to them down through the years. And when the opportunity was given, they refused. They refused the provisions, the blessings, and all that God had for them. And so out of that vast number that came from Egypt, you remember there was only Joshua and Caleb entered into the land to enjoy its many, many blessings. But we reminded ourselves yesterday that we, like they, had been redeemed. We came out of sin in Egypt. And then God wants us to come directly into a land of blessing that flows with milk and honey and has all those wonderful things. Unfortunately, sometimes we in turn get enticed and spend time in the wilderness at our spiritual peril. But I just want to briefly mention some of the things that are ours in Ephesians, in the land into which we've already been brought. We don't have to wait until we get to glory for these things. Rather, they're ours right now. And look at them ever so quickly. Verse 4, we have been chosen. The thought is that we have been set aside. Set aside by God and for God, that we might be used for him and know the luxury of being so used. In verse 5, we learn that we have been adopted. And so not only have we been chosen, but we have been adopted. Adopted, born again, made his, the children of God. Remember, John could say, Beloved, now are ye the children of God. And with that royal relationship, we can enjoy our salvation all the more. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And in the eyes of our God, we're in the family to be used and blessed of him. Verse 6 says that we have been accepted. Another phrase that could be used for that is we have been made lovely. We have been accepted in the Beloved One. And that being the case, why? What an honor is ours to enjoy as we go on to heaven. We have been redeemed. No longer do we belong to ourselves. We belong to the great Redeemer, our risen Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us. We have been forgiven in accordance with his sovereign grace. In verse 12, we will be to the praise of his glory. And we concluded with the statement something like this, that we who once were lost sinners, imagine being saved and redeemed to the praise and the glory of God's beloved Son. That blows me away, to think that an unconverted, sinful individual like Arnett McEntee, eventually redeemed, and now has the joy of being in fellowship with Him and enjoying that position of luxury and blessedness. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, beloved, let me encourage you this morning to go in for enjoying and practicing the preciousness that is found in Ephesians chapter 1. They're rich and they are blessed indeed. This morning, I'd like to move in on our next study. And as I've thought about it yesterday through the night and even this morning, there are so many snapshots that could be taken of the life of the great Joshua that would be profitable to us. But I have elected to think with you, and I trust by the Spirit leading, of the cities of refuge. We don't have such cities today, but we thank our God that they are beautiful pictures of our beloved Lord, our city of refuge. We'll see how that a loving God provided for those of Joshua's day a place of refuge. And when a man had what we would call committed manslaughter, had committed a crime and killed an individual, but not by intent, why, there was a place, in fact there were six of them, to which he could run, and once he was inside the city limits, he was safe from any who would attempt to take his life for the life that had been, that he had slain. So we rejoice as far as the Israelite was concerned for the blessings he had in this respect. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 19. We have read Joshua 1:1-9 on each occasion in which we have addressed the word, but let's go just to Deuteronomy 19 this morning and read it with the prayer the Lord will bless it to us. 19 of Deuteronomy, and we'll read in, shall we, at verse 4. And this is the case of the slayer which shall flee thither, that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly or without intent, whom he hated not in time past, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve of the axe, and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live, lest the avenger of blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot or angry, and overtaketh him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in the past. Let's pray that the Lord will bless to us these few thoughts. Father, we thank you this morning again for the privilege of being together, for all that has taken place already this day on these grounds. We thank you and pray that much was accomplished for eternity. And may that continue as we study the word together from the life of the great man named Joshua. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. From the text, we have learned that if a man accidentally slew another, there was a way of escape for him. For the unintentional killer, God had provided six cities, three of them on each side of the Jordan. It then was the responsibility of the man who had committed the act to flee to one of those cities, the one nearest him. And once he was within its gates, he was safe. The gates of those six cities never closed. They were ever open. And what a beautiful picture they present of our city of refuge in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gates are always open. The arms of love are always outstretched for the sinner to come to the Savior and know His rich and abundant blessing. God longed to provide protection and care and safety. And as we see that in the cities of refuge, we thank our God that in this our day, spiritually speaking, the city of refuge is again the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear Him say, as He said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Pardon me. We hear Him say in John 6, in verse 37, "Him that cometh unto Me, I will in no wise cast out." And I wonder if all of us have responded in that way to the Savior. The invitation still stands, and it's your precious privilege and mine, beloved, to make it known to friends with whom we work and members of the family, to share the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us never tire of it. What a precious responsibility and privilege is ours to tell men and women, yes, there is refuge. There's refuge for sinners like you and like me. The roads, pardon me, the roads to those cities were normally twice as wide as the usual road. I like that. There would be no hindrances along the way, because there was adequate room for the man as he ran as quickly as possible to the city of refuge. Wherever there were hills, they, to the best of their limited technical ability, were leveled. If there were valleys that were deep, they tried to fill them in, again, to make traveling as easy as possible and to remove every difficulty from the one who is in distress. Beloved, isn't that the way it should be as far as the man or woman, fellow or girl, is concerned today, who wishes to find rest and peace, safety in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's your responsibility and mine to make the message as clearly known as possible and to make certain that he has free course and direction to the place of refuge and safety. At the curves and at the intersections along the road, there was a sign. It just bore one word, usually in bold letters, and that word was Miklat, M-I-K-L-A-T, simply meaning refuge. And there along the road, that individual would run from one of those signs to another, follow its direction, and he was off on his way to hoped-for safety. Thank God the refuge is still available in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that as I consider it this morning, my own heart might be warmed in the fact that I have found refuge in Christ, and that refuge is available for others who wish to have and enjoy it. Each of those six cities of refuge, they had an abundant supply of food and of water. Weapons of war were not permitted in that city. This was a city that provided refuge from those who had that dire dire need. For these reasons and others, beloved, they so beautifully illustrate the Lord's role in protecting and caring for lost men and women like you and me. Let us appreciate then the cities of refuge and make certain that we preach the truth to men and women who are lost. Yes, there are places of refuge and we can enjoy them. Enjoy their truth initially as we found salvation, and enjoy the truth day by day, knowing that we are secure and safe with that which God has provided. As I think of the cities, I'd like to consider them under three brief headings. Think with me that they were provided by God. They were preeminent in their access. And thirdly, they provided protection. Now, sinners like you and me, in a spiritual sense, we needed all three. They had been provided by God. They were strategically placed so that the individual who had slain that blood could readily run and find that there was safety within the limits of the community. As that individual had slain one, it was often customary that his next of kin would in rage seek to take his life. And that, of course, was the reason for the provisions of the city. Sin, intentionally or unintentionally, incurs the wrath of God. And God would be justified in slaying sinners like you and me. But thanks be to God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, refuge is found, and in it and in Him we have refuge and peace for time and for eternity. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus? They seem so appropriate to me. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 7, he said, "Flee from the wrath to come." I wonder, beloved, in our day, as we make known the gospel, as we live the gospel in the workplace, do we have that same degree of urgency? Man, those with whom we fellowship, those with whom we're associated, are going to be subject to the wrath of a holy and a sin-hating God. Imperative then, it is upon you and me that we do the best we can to clearly make known the gospel. I enjoyed a conversation here on the ground yesterday with a brother, as he told me that he felt his gift was not that of preaching from the platform, but of sharing the gospel and living the gospel with those with whom he worked. And that was his parish. He was using that opportunity and those opportunities to reach out to men and women who were lost. And by his life and his lip, he would seek to draw them to the Savior. And thank God has been successful in the process. That you and I might have that same degree of concern for the lost. Remember the words of Job 36 and verse 18, he said, "Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, and a great ransom cannot deliver thee." We thank our God that for the manslayer in the days of Joshua, there was a place of safety. And it's important in this day, and how much more so as we near the end of the age, to make known the gospel, to be living it day by day and moment by moment. If this man refused to take advantage of the city of refuge, he could be slain. And he had nobody to blame but himself. How solemn, how sad. The city of refuge provided safety, for him. Go to chapter 20 of Joshua and verse 3. Thank you very much, my brother. Appreciate that. I don't know where that thing came from. Joshua chapter 20 and verse 3. That the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Notice that in verse 3. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Beloved, it's personal. And you want to believe it was personal. When an accident had happened and a life had been taken, why, that individual realized, I'm in deep trouble. I've got to get out of here. And thank God, there was a place of refuge for him personally. And we are grateful for the refuge that was found for us in the person of our Lord and our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. And I repeat, if it was necessary in the days of Joshua for that man to go to the city of refuge, how much more so is it for men and women today, with the rapid approach of the end of the age, to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's of ultimate importance. The sense of urgency is seen here. It says, he may flee thither. It was his responsibility. He wasn't going to be forced into it. And that's the way it is with salvation. We must appreciate the fact, it's my soul. It's his soul. It's her soul. And I've got to do all I can to make the path to the place of refuge clear and open for them to travel. And may they appreciate the position that is theirs in such a situation. The decision, I repeat, was theirs. I arrived home from the office one day, and Helen was at the door, and she said, Hotel Dew has called, and they want you to call them. I called the nurse that had placed the call to me, and she said, Mr. McEntee, do you know Mr. Duncan? I said, yes, I do. She said, he would like to see you. I said, you tell him I'll be there as quickly as I can. So, immediately finishing my dinner, I went to the hotel, and I met a man that I had only met on one or two previous occasions. I knew his three handsome sons well. They came to our Sunday school, and their mother came to our family hour, but he wouldn't come. He was the same age as myself at the time, 50 years of age. And now he's on his back with cancer, and he's ready to check out. After the niceties of the day, I said to him, Andy, may I tell you about my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I wish you would. What a change. But there's always a change when one realizes his time is limited. As simply as I could, I poured into that man's heart the gospel. First, that he was a sinner. And the Lord Jesus Christ, out of love to his precious soul, died for him on the cross. He listened. And when I felt it was appropriate, I said, Andy, will you accept my Savior as yours? He looked at me and he said, Arnett, no. I said, Andy, you've got to be kidding. You're going to check out, and you're not ready to go. He said, if I came to Christ now, I would be a coward. I've rejected him from the beginning of life up to this point. I can't accept him now. I said, Andy, listen to this. This is what my Bible says. Him that cometh unto me, no conditions attached, I will in no wise cast out. He says, is that in the Bible? I said, Andy, it is. If it is, I'll come right now. And that night, Andy found an open door to the city of refuge. The flip side is, his wife was at his side and had heard the gospel more often than he. And he turned to her and he said, Dora, you accept Jesus too, and we'll be together for all eternity. She looked at him and she said, Andy, the hurt is too deep. I can't do it. Dora is still alive, but still outside the city of refuge. Tragic. One would enter and another not. Before I left the room that night, Andy turned to me and he said, Erna, do me one more favor. I will if I can. He said, Erna, will you conduct my funeral service? I said, yes, Andy, I'd be happy to. And I'll tell you what I'm going to tell your friends. I'm going to tell them exactly what happened here in this room tonight. He said, you tell them one other thing. You tell them not to wait as long as I waited. 2 weeks later, I did. The funeral home was filled with well-known people from our community. And I simply told them what had happened to Andy and how it could happen to them and they could have salvation. Friend, our responsibility is to clear the way to the city of refuge and make it possible for men and women who desperately need the Savior to find Him before it's too late. Once the individual was inside the city, there were three things about it. There was protection, provision, and it was a place where they could be at home. Protection. Once he was inside, the manslayer could not come in and take his life. Remember what the Lord Jesus said? John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And beloved, that's where you are this morning, and that's where I am. In spite of all our weaknesses and all our failures, we're safe in the hand of our God. And we will never, never, never perish, regardless of what some of our friends would try to say. No man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Beloved, what assurance we have, safe in the city of refuge, protected by our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. But there was provision. There was adequate and an abundant supply, as I have mentioned, of food and water within the city, so that they would never run out. And regardless of the number of refugees within the city, there would always be a supply. Thanks be to God, that's the way it is with His salvation. Him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. There's room at the cross for you and me, and we thank our God. How wonderful. But in Joshua chapter 20 and verse 4, notice something else. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of the city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place, and he shall dwell among them. Isn't that beautiful? What did he have to do? He had to come to the city And he had to tell them, he had to declare the cause of his shortness of breath, the reason why he had made that day-long run to the place of refuge. He had to declare it, and he had to be right up front. He had to tell them exactly what he had done. You know, I'm afraid, beloved, at times, when the gospel is preached, it is not preached as God would have it preached. I sat in my own chapel a week ago yesterday for the funeral service of a young man, 49. It was being conducted by a brother from another assembly about 70 miles from ours. And I have never in all my life heard such a weak presentation of the gospel. It was pathetic. We were there celebrating his life. And there was a great deal of question as to whether the man had eternal life at all. And I'm afraid, from what I hear from some of my preaching colleagues, that that is becoming more frequent than it should be. What did this man have to do? He had to say, "I just killed a man." He had to own up and tell the truth. And I believe that when we come to the place of confessing sin, we have to call it what it is. It's sin. And let us never remove it from our vocabulary as we preach or as we witness. Lovingly, it can be told. I'll be honest with you. The two places that I enjoy preaching the gospel the most are at funerals and weddings. Extremes, I know. But I believe with a compassionate heart and those that are prepared to listen, we can tell them, yes, there is a way of salvation. And you make sure before you leave this place that you're on your way to heaven. I don't shake them over the pit. But as lovingly and as clearly as I can, I want to tell men and women, there's a place of refuge. And you need it. And this is the way to go. And so this man had to acknowledge what he had done. And then what happened? Why? There would be a refuge from the avenger of blood. What did they do? They would give him a place that he may dwell among them. Isn't that beautiful? And that's the way it is with our beloved Lord. When we came, whenever it was, beloved, he gave us freely a place with himself to enjoy for time and for eternity. He came not to call the righteous, he said, but he came to call sinners to himself. And thanks be to God, he's still calling sinners. But those sinners must realize they're sinners. We must tell them. And we have the responsibility to make it abundantly clear that a man has sinned. That we might then beautifully tell the message of the cross. But as far as these six cities were concerned, they were preeminent in their access and in their location. In most cases, they were located on a hill so that people coming from a distance could see, there's the city. That's where I'm going. And just the sight of it, no doubt, would help him to quicken his pace when it was necessary. And off he could go in hopes of being received there. Thanks be to God. The truth is still in the book from the lips of our Savior, John 12 and verse 32. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Beloved, it's as we lift him up to the lost that the lost are attracted to him. Tragic indeed. If he is not lifted high, and the cross work of our Savior is not presented as it should. The Lord Jesus Christ is our refuge. Don't you love the words of Isaiah 32 and verse 2? And the man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Oh, thanks be to God for the opportunity He gave us to come to the One who is the great rock in the weary land, where refuge and safety and peace were found, and we can thank Him for that precious, precious truth. Thankfully, we don't need to hurriedly cover the miles from the commitment of the crime to the city of refuge. All we have to do is, right where we are, realizing our sinnership, turn by faith to the cross. Believe that when He died for me. And as I believe that on the 27th of February, 1944, I receive the joy and the peace of being received within the city and in the person of my Savior's refuge. Thankfully, it's available today. Let us, beloved, with a burdened heart, make clearly known the message of the cross. But as I have mentioned, the way to the city was clearly marked. The word was there, and all they had to do was follow the word. Mictlan, the city, the refuge, was down the road. Follow the signs, man, and it'll take you to safety. The sign is erected with inspired clarity this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He could say, I'm the door, that by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Oh, how wonderful to know these precious truths that would direct the individual to the Savior. May we know them, may we memorize them, have them in our heart, that a wayfaring man, though a fool, may not err therein. Oh, beloved, the plan is simple. It's beautiful. Again, another brother said to me yesterday here on the ground, he'd been studying some of the so-called religions and teachings that are prevalent today. And he said, you know, I think with very little effort I could design and plan a salvation much simpler than what they're trying to present. But you can't beat this one. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And we praise our God for it, that salvation in its simplicity is available for sinners in their need. There was protection from within the city that was so conveniently located. Those six cities, one was Kadesh. Its name means holiness. Kadesh provided refuge for those who were not holy. They were unholy. And those wishing to confess their act and sin, why, they could have a changed life. And they too could live a holy life, as you and I can. There was Shechem, meaning strength. Another word for Shechem is shoulder. The child of God realizes once he enjoys fellowship with the Savior. Why? He has strength outside himself because of the indwelling Spirit of God. And he's safe on the shoulders of the Good Shepherd to be carried and kept and blessed. Remember the story of Luke 15? When he had found the sheep, he layeth it upon his shoulder, rejoicing. The sheep was safe and it was secure. Beloved, that was available at Shechem. At Hebron, why, it was, the word simply means friend and friendship, fellowship. These things were available in Hebron. Isn't it great to tell the poor, brokenhearted sinner Boy, there's friendship in the person of the one who died for you. If you'll only come to him and accept him. When that fugitive finally arrived there, what did they do? They said they would give him a place. They would give him a place. And he would find friends there. And he would be able to dwell among them. I'm sure you agree with me. We left the world and what we thought were friends. But when we moved into the family of God, the friends were far more intimate and valuable to us. We appreciated them all the more. I've had so many people, particularly those who had gone on for a while in the world and had sinned. But then when they come to that place of accepting Christ, and they realize the truth and the preciousness of the fellowship we have, man, it can't be beat. That's all there is to it. You ask young men who were in the forces or are in the forces about the preciousness of Christian fellowship, and they'll tell you the story. Those that have been deprived of it for a while, they're in a place where they can truly enjoy it to the full. There was Ramoth Gilead on the east side of Jordan. It meant exalted. Will our friends leave the rank of the unconverted to dwell with Christ and to know the luxury of being exalted into the family of God? And what a position will be ours in a coming eternal day. Then too, there was Golan on the east side as well. It meant happiness. Happy is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Thanks be to God for them. And then there was Bezer, B-E-Z-E-R. It was a place of safety from our foes. We can say with the Psalms, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. And all of these things were represented in the cities of refuge, and they're available for you, beloved, and for me. It was Major John André who was sentenced to death as a spy during the Revolutionary War. He was innocent, but he could not become bitter in his reaction, even to the men who were about to take his life. He enjoyed Christ and found him as his anchor for the soul. Prior to his death, he wrote a very moving poem. You may have already read it. Speaking of his refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Major wrote, "On him almighty vengeance fell, which would have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a sinful race, and thus became my hiding place." Though André was only 30 years of age and would be put to death within 3 days, he added the glowing assurance of the last verse which he penned. "A few more rolling suns at most shall land me on fair heaven's coast, when I shall sing the song of grace and see my glorious hiding place." Beloved, he's our refuge this morning. You can't buy it, but we have it and we enjoy it. As we said yesterday morning, let's go in for enjoying it. May it be so. For his name's sake, let's pray. Father, we thank thee this morning for thy beloved Son, our blessed, glorious hiding place. May, Father, each of us appreciate him more as the days go on, living in the light of his love and sharing it as we do. We pray in our Savior's precious name. Let's sing just one verse of the hymn, shall we? It's 366. 366, and we sing it to the tune of Philandia. The number is also given there. 366. Singing just the first verse, shall we?